May the Lord help us to commence our anniversary service by singing hymn number 208 to the tune Rosso 687. Hymn number 208. Jesus, lover of thy nation, saviour of thy people free, visit us with thy salvation. Let us, Lord, thy glory see. O revive us, that we may rejoice in thee. Let us find thy love surrounding us, thy fickle children here, and thy mighty grace abounding, leading us in holy fear. Guide us, Jesus, to our souls be ever near. Hymn number 208, the tune Rosso, 687.
Thank you. us to read from his holy word, the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. The first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how there are not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many nobler called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, in thy sovereign mercy, thy faithfulness, thy loving kindness and compassion, forbearance, thou hast spared us to meet together on this anniversary occasion, thy church here. We do ask for thy gracious, saving, blessing presence. Lord, oh, come to our aid in speaking and in hearing, that thy name may be glorified. Lord, that we may get even this evening a little foretaste of that we have sung of in the last verse of the hymn. Lord, we do pray to be made right for eternity. And we do pray for that which thou hast promised in thy word by thy servant the apostle. Thou hast said thou wilt confirm thy people unto the end. And Lord, we do need it. Oh, we ask tonight, do show us that we are complete in Christ, and we are among thy blessed, loved, elect people, redeemed by the precious blood of thy dear Son, sanctified by thy Spirit, called unto the fellowship of Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray then for thy blessed Holy Spirit to be given unto us. Didst thou not say, Lord Jesus, that thy Father would give him to those who ask? Almighty God, in Jesus' name, we ask this evening for thy Holy Spirit, he whom we have grieved so many, many times. And Lord, even this day, for every sin grieves thee. Lord, we do pray for Jesus' sake. He who ever did that which pleased thee, Holy Father, and thou in whom thou art well pleased, oh, for his sake, do grant thy Spirit. Oh, in thy mercy, in thy compassion, in thy pity, in thy grace, and Lord, it will be to the glory of thy name if we are granted thy Spirit. Lord, thou wilt be worshipped. Lord, thou wilt be loved. Lord Jesus, thou wilt be believed upon. Lord, we shall mourn over thee mourn for thee as one that mourneth for his only son that serveth him. Lord, oh, we shall feel something of the sweets of pardon and peace and justification if thou shouldst grant thy Spirit. We pray for these blessings for thy church here. We thank thee for maintaining them to another year and for every blessing thou hast granted in that time under the word. And Lord, we do seek that thou wouldst go on to be gracious to them. Maintain thy candlestick here. Take not thy Spirit from them. Grant, Lord, that Christ and him crucified may be preached here by thy Spirit-sent ministers, and as sermons are read of such ministers, oh, may the blessings of the gospel be granted. May sinners be saved here. May thy saints be fed and watered here. And Lord, it can only be Christ and him crucified. Then it say, Lord Jesus, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Grant us each, Lord, that blessed feeding. Lord, salvation in every aspect of it. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst work mightily in this place. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Help their deacon. Direct him. Uphold him and bless him and bless his labours. Bless thy servant, Lord, member of the church here. Go with him. Oh, make him a blessing to thy people. Make him thy messenger in thy message. And Lord, we pray for our brother turned in with us, the pastor of a neighbouring cause. Oh, we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst be with him in the lonely path he now takes. Lord, oh, may he know thy gracious presence. May he, Lord, be favoured in his soul and in his ministry. Lord, grant an outpouring of thy Spirit in the church. Lord, we pray for Zion that she may be recovered from all her sins and departures and coldness and errors, formality, worldliness, idolatry. O Lord, come thou blessed head of the church. Purge thy floor. O purge us. Cleanse us, Lord, from those things which grieve thee, and Lord, which make us barren and far off and unfruitful, and therefore, Lord, so grieving to thee. Oh, we would not grieve thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst ever give us a very tender heart. That fear of the Lord, that fear of grieving thee. And Lord, that pain, that spiritual pain, when we are convinced we have grieved thee. And that repentance, Lord, is there a thing beneath the sun that strives with thee our heart to have? Tear it, Lord, from thy throne, that we may worship thee alone. Is there a thing, Lord? Ah, we would pray with thy servant David. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. May believers be added to this church. May the church be granted an increase personally in every grace. If it is thy will, may thy elect be gathered into this place. Lord, thou hast not bidden us go out to gather them in. We could not. Thou art the good shepherd. Who saith, thou wilt leave the 99 and go after that which was lost till thou find it. And thou said, Lord, that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord should be established in the top of the mountains. And people from all nations shall flow unto it, saying, we will go up to the house of the Lord. He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. We pray for the fulfillment of thy promises, that thou wilt bring them in. Thou said, the ransom of the Lord shall return. May prodigals return, Lord. May those who have never come into thy house come in and stay. Find, Lord, a blessed home. Oh, bring thy people to that blessed place. Lord, surely it is set forth in thy parable of the Samaritan. He took that poor man on his beast and brought him to an inn, and paid the innkeeper for his care. Oh Lord, do grant us thy own payment, Lord, those of us who are innkeepers, to whom is given the charge of feeding the flock of God. Oh, feed us that we may feed them. Lord, oh, we pray to be made a blessing. Lord, what a favour that is. If thou shouldst give us, Lord, we disagree with thy servant the apostle. He said he was less than the least. But Lord, we are. Unto me, I'm less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. We pray for that grace this evening. And on every occasion, Lord, oh, may the glory of the Lord be revealed and all flesh see it together. Have mercy then in our families likewise. We plead for them. In thy sovereign mercy, might it please thee to save them each. Let none perish out of Christ. Lord, favour them with that blessing of all blessings, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich eternal life, to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. May sinners, seeking sinners in this congregation this evening, be blessed in this way. Lord, direct us in all our steps. May they be ordered by thee. Lord, do not let us do anything contrary to thy will. Show us thy will and lead us in a plain path. For thy name's sake, O Lord, do lead me and guide me. And have mercy on our nation. Have pity, Lord, upon Britain. We thank thee for thy mercies to us. Truly in wrath, thou dost still remember mercy, else we must have been cut off, as Sodom and Gomorrah were. Restrain the evil, we pray. Make thy church a city set on an hill in these dark days. Save the church from worldly conformity. Lord, oh, do give us each that grace to walk out what we profess to believe. We come so far short, if one may confess for any other, but Lord, help us. Give us, Lord, a desire, and give us that faith to plead for it. Lord, then remember thy people throughout the world. We particularly pray for those in oppression, those in war-torn countries, those, Lord, in persecution, in imprisonment for thy name's sake. Lord, remember thy people. In mercy make wars to cease, as thou hast said in thy word, to the end of the world. Forgive now what we ask amiss. Make up where we fail in asking. We plead it for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
May the Lord help us in further singing hymn number 745 to the tune Pearly, 721. Hymn number 745. When Jesus would his grace proclaim, he calls the simple, blind and lame to come and be his guest. Such simple folk the world despise, yet simple folk have sharpest eyes and learn to walk the best. They view the want of Jesus' light, of Jesus' blood and Jesus' might, which others cannot view. They walk in Christ the living way and fight and win the well-fought day, which others cannot do. Hymn number 745 to the tune Pearly, 721.
On the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, reading verses 30 and 31. The first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, the last two verses, 30 and 31, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The word is spoken to a particular people. It cannot be said of all people. Indeed, it cannot be said of all that sit under the sound of the gospel, that they are of God in Christ Jesus. The opening verses of this epistle give something of a definition of the people unto whom Paul is speaking this word, and of whom it is true, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now listen to this, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. The Holy Ghost kindly and mercifully caused Paul to come down to this blessed level in speaking of the people who are of God in Christ Jesus, they call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you, from your very heart, are caused day by day to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting your trust wholly in that blessed name, hearing by faith what the Apostle Peter said, there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. Then the Holy Ghost in this chapter tells you of God, you are in Christ Jesus. It is of God. There is no other way of being in Christ Jesus but of God. The whole work of grace is the work of God. From eternity past, God put a people in Christ Jesus, chosen in Christ Jesus, given unto Him, united to Him with a mysterious, eternal, unbreakable union, in union with the Lamb from condemnation free. The saints of everlasting were and shall forever be. Jesus said to His Father, didn't He? Those that Thou gavest Me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that is Judas Iscariot. Of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. But then there is an experimental being in Christ Jesus. And that was what Paul was writing of at the beginning of the chapter when he speaks of those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus. The Holy Ghost is the one who sanctifies a sinner, and in their soul's experience, their very being, they are put in Christ Jesus. The new birth. No one is experimentally in Christ Jesus while they are still in the flesh. But Paul said, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of Christ dwell in you. Oh, the Lord, those that are in Him, they are born again sinners. The wind bloweth where it listeth, He said to Nicodemus. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. In the beginning of the work, a poor sinner doesn't know they're in Christ Jesus. But oh, how they are led on by the Spirit to the place where they, in some measure at least, and we cannot lay down on scriptural grounds the measure of faith that the Lord will give to each of His people. We read of the word of the Lord which brings in them all. They shall all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest. You see, to be experimentally in Christ Jesus, we've got to be stripped of all our own fancied meekness. We've got to be made poor. You think of that parable the Lord Jesus told of that great feast. And he sent that message out, didn't he? Come, for all things are now ready. What a beautiful description. What a beautiful setting forth of the Father's provision in Christ. Come, for all things are now ready. Everything is in Christ that you could possibly need. Everything is in Christ that you could possibly desire. What do we read? They all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, I've married a wife. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. Another said, I've bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. And the Lord of the feast was angry, and he sent out his servants into the streets and lanes of the city, and then further out into the highways and in the hedges, and brought into the feast, that is, in the context of our text, brought in experimentally into Christ to feed upon him. But what was the condition those people were in that came in? They were poor, they were maimed, they were blind. Ah, that's what we've got to be made. We won't come in to Christ except we're poor and maimed and blind and halt. Neither will we come in except we are brought in. Those in the streets and lanes of the city were brought in. None come to Christ except the Father which has sent him draw them. And then those in the highways and the hedges, the Holy Spirit goes even further and says they were compelled to come in. My dear friend, if you and I are in Christ tonight, that's how we are in him. That's how we were brought into him. Compelled I am on Christ alone to hang and plead the blood by which the church was freed. You remember a time, my dear friend, child of God, in your soul's experience, and you were brought in. The blessed Spirit led you in. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, you know. It's altogether spiritual. The reality of being in Christ Jesus. The safety. And thinking of the apostle's words in Romans 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Were you ever a condemned sinner? Condemned to an eternity of woe, an eternity of banishment from God. Condemned in everything you did, because everything you did came short of the glory of God. The more you strove to fulfill that law, the more the judgment, the condemnation came upon you. Lord, if there is a way a poor condemned sinner like me can be saved, do show it me. The blessed Spirit revealed Christ to you through the Word. Gave you that faith you didn't have. 'Tis by faith a sinner experimentally comes into Christ. That precious grace of faith, together with repentance. Faith and repentance. Oh, what a blessed thing repentance is. Yes, there is grief in it, but oh, there is joy in it. A sinner may repent and sing, rejoice and be ashamed. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. Oh, he is the real and the full meaning of what that name of that city means where he was born, Bethlehem. That name Bethlehem means the house of bread. Oh, the significance. This is the place where he is born who is the bread of life sent down from heaven. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Those shepherds led of the Spirit to Bethlehem. They came in their soul's experience into Christ Jesus. They saw the Holy Child and his mother, fell down and worshipped him. Likewise, those wise men from the east. And then we think of Simeon and Anna. Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace. My dear friend, this is the blessing that every newborn sinner is brought to seek after. You see, we're dying people. And how awful it would be if anyone in this congregation this evening died out of Christ. Simeon was told by the Holy Spirit he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And you know that's a promise that isn't only given to Simeon. It's given to all the Lord's people. None of them will die until they have seen the Lord's Christ. Not to take him up physically in our arms, like Simeon did, but in the arms of faith. Not to see him with our bodily eyes, but mind you, Simeon couldn't see with his bodily eyes that this was the Christ, could he? No. The Holy Ghost revealed him. In him then, there is that blessed security. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Just one other text came to my mind with regard to being in Christ Jesus. And it's again written by the pen of Paul. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Wasn't that how it was, my dear friend, when you by faith, child of God, entered into Christ, you became a new creature. Christ made you a new creature. Oh, you were a believer then. You were the bride of Christ and still are. You are one of Christ's friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that the Father hath made known unto you, I have told you. Oh, a new creature that loves God. Oh, I know it's only in measure. But it's a measure that overcomes the love of sin and the love of this world and the love of self. The new creature, one that is now fitted in some measure here below to glorify God in your life and in your spirit. You could then take your harp down from the willows and loud to the praise of God could sing. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. The old thing of that legal marriage. We are married to the law till we are in Christ. when we are in Christ, we are freed from our first husband. The law is fulfilled. Paul speaks of it, doesn't he? The beginning of Romans 7. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye might be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye might bear fruit unto God. Of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? In God's eternal purposes, Christ was made all these things unto his people. There's that beautiful hymn, isn't there, that speaks of the eternal settlements, of the relationship in eternity past between Christ and his bride. Then in the glass of God's decrees, Christ and his bride appeared as one, her sins by imputation his, while she in spotless splendor shone. But then there is this, as we've spoke of it with regard to being in Christ, there is this experimentally, Christ being made unto us. These things, that is, as he is revealed unto us, as he is made known to us, as we come to find him. You know, when Christ is found by a sinner, there he's found because God has made him a seeker and God has led the seeker. Oh, is there a seeker here this evening? And you feel tonight, how shall I ever find Christ? I seem to get further and further away from him. My dear friend, the text tells you how. God will, when he makes a person a seeker, he doesn't leave that seeker to find their way. No. I mention in prayer that promise of the Lord concerning the Holy Ghost, and may it be a word to a seeker here this evening. If ye being evil, that brings us in, doesn't it? We are evil. That brings the seeker in. They know they're evil. This evil heart they've got, these evil sins they commit, this evil nature. But God, Christ said, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And when the Spirit quickens a person into life, convinces them of sin, makes them a seeker, 'tis that blessed Spirit that leads them on. You will find him, poor seeker. Remember Jesus' promise, everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, and everyone that knocketh, to him it shall be opened. Who of God is made unto us? Jesus Christ is made unto his people everything. In him is everything. In him is life. In him is pardon, in him is righteousness, in him is sanctification, In him is wisdom. In him is everything you could possibly need. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in him. That is the reason why he must take our nature without sin into union with himself. The fullness of the Godhead in a nature like unto ours, sin accepted. And those that are in Christ Jesus, because of this truth, in Christ Jesus, that godliness in the human nature of Christ that the apostle writes of to Timothy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That sinners, his people, might be made godly. Everything that a sinner needs, it first dwelt in Christ. And there it dwells for his people. Christ had no need in himself to have a human nature. He had no need in himself of those graces which were manifest in his sacred holy humanity. He had no need of that righteousness which he wrought. He had no need of that grace of humility, faith, hope. You see, all of these graces, they are the graces of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the psalm to his father, "Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. Thou art my God from my mother's womb." They cast that in his teeth as he hung on the cross. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Dear old Mr. Shaw, the minister at Chippenham, years ago, he used to say, "There's no place between the womb and the grave that a child of God comes into but what the Lord Jesus Christ was there before." And when he was there, oh, how perfectly he was there. How righteously he was there. Oh, when he was there, he did no sin. He fulfilled all righteousness. He magnified the law and made it honourable. And why was he in the pangs of death? Why was he suffering the pangs of hell? Why did his holy body lie in that tomb? Because he had a people that were in him from all eternity. And those people were sinners. Of him are ye sinners in Christ Jesus. A sinner in Christ. Because you were in him, my dear friend, he had to suffer. He had to bleed. He had to die for you. He had to lie in the grave. But blessed be his dear name, he rose from that grave. And because you were in him, child of God, when he rose, you rose with him. And that is why you have been born again. And that is why your soul rises from the dead. And how does it rise from the dead? By Jesus Christ, who is that resurrection. The quickening word. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. We can't make him unto ourselves anything. Again I speak, I trust, directed by the Spirit of God, to the perplexities, the distresses, the anxieties the questions that arise in the hearts of seekers. How shall I ever lay hold of Christ? How shall I ever know His power? And how shall I ever know His mind? Well, the text gives you up the answer. God will make Him unto you. If He's given you the desire, that's His gift. And He never gives a desire that He doesn't fulfill. But He'll bring you to the point where you are dependent on Him to do it. And how willing God is to do it. How able He is to do it. You know, we poor ministers, Paul speaks of us, doesn't he, as workers together with Christ. But you see, all we do, and that is only by His enabling, is preach the word, preach Him. Preach Christ and Him crucified. We don't make Him unto our hearers anything. It's beyond our power. How many people have had a faithful ministry for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and they are no different after all those sermons to what they were at the beginning? But how many in the history of the church, and one sermon was enough, and what's the difference? It isn't that that sermon was more eloquent than others. It is that in the sovereign purpose of God, the Holy Spirit was given, and Christ was made unto that person. The first thing then is wisdom. Wisdom. I think of a question in the book of Job. How then shall man be just before God? And this is the principal way in which Christ is made unto His people. Wisdom. How shall a sinner, ruined, utterly depraved, in Adam, by birth, nature and practice, ungodly, wicked, having no desire after God, how shall they be saved? That great adversary, the devil, who came against our first parents, Adam and Eve, in their innocency, and was so successful in tempting them into sin, how shall he be conquered? These are the matters concerning which we need wisdom. And Paul has been writing, hasn't he, in the previous verses, of the wisdom of the world. And he says it's foolishness with God. Can a man be educated to make him love God? Can a man be trained to resist the devil? No. Christ is that wisdom. He speaks, doesn't he, in the 8th chapter of the Proverbs, under the name of wisdom. It's clear it's Him that's speaking. He says, unto you, O men, I call. And my words are to the sons of men. Hear my words. You see, when Jesus speaks, He is made unto His people wisdom. He speaks the words of wisdom. When you, my dear friend, are spoken to by the Lord, He with power, with authority, that word you've got from Him, which is of course concerning Himself, it is your wisdom You have to use that word. The Lord enables you to use that word in the perplexities which you face. I think of a question one of our hymns begins with. How shall I come to God, who holy are? Now isn't Christ the wisdom? Isn't he the answer to that question? Where shall I approach the Lord and bow before his throne by trusting in his holy word and pleading Christ alone? Who of God is made unto us wisdom? Oh, what a wise person that is, who has Christ as their wisdom, who in coming to God is enabled by the Spirit to exercise that wisdom. You know, the publican in the parable, how wise he was, but he didn't feel it, did he? But what wisdom that was, to stand afar off and smite on his breast and pray, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You say, Christ isn't mentioned in that prayer. Oh, he is. He is. And the word in that prayer that sets forth Christ more than any other, of course, he is God. God, be merciful. But it's that word, merciful. You know, God, Satan has no answer to the mercy of God. Oh, that mercy that has nothing to do with what a sinner deserves, but has everything to do with what Christ has secured for his people. He bore the judgment that they should have the mercy, who of God is made unto us wisdom. And he is made unto us wisdom in the words then that he speaks. What a wise one that is, that at the Lord's bidding is coming unto him. What a wise one that is, who is at the Lord's bidding, casting all their care upon him. What a wise one that is, that is pleading the precious blood that once for sin was shed. What a wise one that is not trying to fight against Satan in their own strength, but is referring the whole matter to Christ. Jehoshaphat sets it forth, doesn't he? We have no might against this great company, and neither know we what to do. That's your sins, my dear friend. That's the devil. And that's all those questions in your life. And that's all those matters in your life that you don't know what to do. But Jehoshaphat said, but our eyes are upon thee. What a wise man he was. You see, he was made wise by Christ being made unto him wisdom. The Holy Spirit records in the word that Jehoshaphat wasn't always wise. And that's part of the interpretation of what this text says, that he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The Holy Spirit records that Jehoshaphat in himself was a fool. What a foolish thing to go and fight in battle with such a wicked king Ahab. And what a foolish thing to put on Ahab's robes. It's clear what Ahab intended should happen to Jehoshaphat. Ahab should be hidden, as it were, and all the attention should be on Jehoshaphat. He would be the one that would be slain. But Christ was unto Jehoshaphat wisdom, even when Jehoshaphat was acting foolishly.
And the proof of it is, we read, when the people surrounded Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat cried out. And the Lord caused the people, his enemies, to melt away. You know, my dear friend, if Christ is unto you wisdom, he'll make you feel to be a complete fool, but he will not let your folly destroy you. He will, in his wisdom, all that wisdom. The wisdom is the faithfulness, the stability, the unchangeableness of Christ. Who of God is made unto us wisdom. There's something that came to me just now as I was speaking. May the Lord bring it back to me. And you see, it's with regard to direction in life. Christ is made unto his people wisdom. His will for us, what he will have us to do. Are you brought, my dear friend, in something this evening to say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? That was one of the Apostle Paul's first prayers, wasn't it? What brought him to it? The Lord brought him to it. He was under the power of the Lord. And you may not have had such an apparently clear call by grace as Saul of Tarsus did, but if you were brought to pray that prayer, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Christ was being made unto you wisdom. Show me what I have to do. Every hour my strength renew. My dear friend, he is so kind, he is so gracious, he is so compassionate, that he will tell you. He will tell you. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. And righteousness. Those in Christ are righteous. Righteous in him. His righteousness is theirs. Jehovah said, can you, the Lord our righteousness. That perfect obedience to the will of God. That perfect infinite fulfillment of the law of God. Bunyan speaks in the second part of Pilgrim's Progress. Of Christ speaks with regard to him as having four righteousnesses. One, the righteousness of his eternal divine person. He cannot part with that. Secondly, the righteousness of his sacred holy humanity. He cannot part with that, for he must have that sacred humanity in all its righteousness forever and ever. The third is the righteousness of the union of the two natures. He cannot part with that, for those two natures will never be severed. His people need him at the right hand of the Father as the Son of God and the Son of Man in one person. But then there's the fourth, and that righteousness which consists in his fulfillment of his Father's command. The performance of the work that the Father gave him to do. Every law that the Father gave, and the Son with him, and the Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled it. Every thought, every word, every action. There was no commission of any sin. There was no omission of any commandment. My dear friend, an infinite righteousness, an immeasurable righteousness. And he had no need of that himself. It was the righteousness which he wrought out for his people. Now, for him to be made our righteousness. Brought to God as a completely wrong person. You know, you'll never have Christ made unto you righteousness. Why, you have any righteousness of your own. Dear John Kent, he says, doesn't he, stripped of all our fancied meanness to approach the dread I am. In that beautiful hymn 144, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled but the more, till late I heard my Saviour say, come hither soul, I am the way. Christ made unto us righteousness. He himself. I think as Mr. Philpott says in one place, we tend to separate the blessed attributes of Christ from his person. But the Word of God says that Jesus Christ himself is our righteousness. This is the name wherewith he should be called, the Lord our righteousness. It's his person, it's not separate from him, it's him. Jesus is made unto us righteousness. Oh, how precious this makes him to a poor, sensible sinner. Oh, how needful it makes him. But then sanctification. You know, sanctification begins with a new birth. Sanctification is the setting apart of a sinner by God to serve God. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost, in performing the work of sanctification, he communicates to the sinner all the saving benefits of Christ in the new birth. What is the life that the Holy Ghost quickens a sinner into? Isn't it that life that Jesus himself is? Because I live, ye shall live also. But of course at that point the sinner doesn't know that Christ is their life. But that is when sanctification begins. And what a setting apart it is. A new hunger and a new thirst, a new desire, new distresses, new fears, new inquiries, a different course the Holy Spirit is causing this sinner to take. Conviction of sin. But then I must come to this very briefly, but it is a blessed part of this text. The sanctification of Christ. When Christ is made our sanctification. You see, in ourselves, we are never sanctified. Except as Jesus is made our sanctification. Let me give an illustration, if the Lord may help me. Here is a poor sinner, and they feel to need to be sanctified, some idol, some sin, and they find that they cannot sanctify themselves from that thing. It keeps rising up, and it won't respond to any effort of ourselves. Do what we will, make resolutions. It's a mystery to me. We read, don't we, in some of the old people of God, generations ago, they even wrote covenants, didn't they? It seems as though even at times some of the Lord's people did that. But I'm sure they found that they themselves never fulfilled those covenants. They never sanctified themselves. They never brought themselves of themselves to do what they had covenanted to do. If you come into the house of God with a hard heart, and how was it softened, if it was softened? It wasn't softened by the minister sounding the law of God to you, though he has to in the preaching. It was as he sounded the sound of Jesus' name, of what Jesus has done, of Jesus' blood, of Jesus' love, of Jesus' grace, of Jesus' righteousness, and your soul was sanctified. That heart was softened. Those worldly thoughts were put out. Buried, says, doesn't he, soon as faith, my Lord can see hanging on the cross for me. Quick, my idols all depart. Jesus gets and fills my heart. A word then for the poor seeker here this evening. Oh, how shall I overcome these sins? You won't. Ask the Lord to do it for you. And when he does, that will be sanctification. I thought of the words of the apostle in the epistle to the Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then all those other blessings follow. But it's love. Oh, the love of Christ. What a sanctifying thing it is. Oh, how it casts out the love of sin. How it conquers it. Lastly then, and redemption. Redemption is the purchase back of a sinner out of the hand of the one that has taken them and is holding them. The one that holds them is the law. God's own law. Christ has made redemption. As faith is given in him, fulfilling that law. The Redeemer shall come to Zion. He comes by the blessed operation of the Spirit into the heart, and he is made the redemption of that sinner. The daysman redeemer, Boaz, I will do to thee all that thou requirest. And redemption. You see, the redemption was by the shedding of the blood. For as much as ye know ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. But listen to what Peter says, for as much as ye know. Ah, you see, all the church were redeemed by that precious blood. But Peter's words indicate that the Lord himself will make it known to them. How does he make it known? By the gift of faith, by the word of his own mouth. Christ has made redemption. I am redeemed, not by anything I've done, I'm redeemed not by my prayers. I'm redeemed not by my tears. I'm redeemed not by my chapel going. I'm redeemed not by my preaching. I'm redeemed by Jesus Christ. And I believe I may rightly speak of the redemption. When it is, when Christ is made unto us redemption, it's not the dry doctrine. Ever so correct of how the church is redeemed is when the Lord comes into our soul by living faith, when he visits us. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He himself, the Redeemer. You have to go to him saying, Lord, I've sold myself. You know, redemption. Christ is made unto us redemption as often as we sell ourselves. Oh, my dear friend. Oft as sins my soul assail thee, and you are sold into the hand of the enemy. You're in bondage, you're in fear, you're in distress, you're in grief. You need forgiveness. And my dear friend, I wouldn't give anything for your religion if you could say, well, I was forgiven once, so it doesn't matter. My sins must be forgiven because I received it once. I wouldn't give a penny for that religion. That's not Christ being made unto you redemption. That's just the bare letter of the word, and it's not enough. Because the bare letter of the word speaks of a redeemed people. And Christ himself, by the blessed Spirit's operation, at the Father's bidding, makes himself our Redeemer when he shows unto us that he died in our place. That according as it is written, Paul is quoting Jeremiah chapter 9, I believe it is. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the strong man glory in his strength, but him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he knoweth me and understandeth me, that I am the Lord that exercise loving kindness, mercy and grace. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How does a sinner glory in the Lord? Firstly, in their innermost soul. What a sweet thing it is in our experience when we can glory in the Lord. When we feel that the Lord is ours, when we can believe he is ours. We glory in him because he has come and enabled us. Do you know what it is to feel to be so earthy, so carnal, so unbelieving? You couldn't glory in the Lord if you tried your hardest. But then he comes. You get a good hearing under the ministry. Or as you're reading the word, the Lord descends into your soul. He delivers you. He speaks to you. He ministers to you. And then you can glory in him. And the glorying firstly is in your own soul. You and the Lord. In sweet and blessed communion. And you are heaping praises upon him. You can't find words to thank him enough for what he has done. But then there's the glorying in speaking of what he has done for you. Come and hear, all you that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. But then there's the glorying in walking out Paul says, doesn't he? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Some people seem to interpret that word with regard to the coming to the knowledge of your own salvation. I don't believe it means that at all. Work out what God works in you. Walk out Christ. Let us walk in the Spirit, says the Apostle to the Galatians. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And what is it to glory in him? It's to acknowledge, it's to declare that it is all of him. Glory in the mercy that saved you. Glory in the fullness. You see, when Christ is made unto you everything, you don't have anything of yourself or anything of any other man to glory in. We are to esteem highly in love for their work's sake the ministers that the Lord has used in the blessing of our souls, but we're not to glory in them. Because as I said earlier, all the minister was the pipe through which the golden oil flowed. The minister in the salvation of a sinner's soul is powerless. Paul addresses this, doesn't he, when he finds fault with the Corinthians for glorying in this minister or that minister or the other minister. Him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, this glorying in the Lord will fill eternity. He is so glorious a person. His work is so glorious. His love so boundless. The sufferings he endured so immeasurable. The price he paid so incalculable. The lengths he went to, the depths he entered into. Oh, the freeness of that grace to us. Eternity will be filled with glory in him. In the glorious, let him glory in the Lord. And when we are enabled to glory in him, you see, we're most dependent on him then. The spouse, when she found him, she said, I held him and I would not let him go. That's glorying in the Lord. I would not let him go until I'd brought him into the house of my mother's children, into the church of God. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Jesus, my all. To heaven is gone. You I fix my hopes upon. His track I see, and I'll pursue the narrow way till him I view. Amen.
After the benediction, we shall sing the doxology, which is on the board, hymn number 506. And the collections taken today are for the support of this cause. May the Lord help us now to conclude by singing hymn number 1080 to the tune Rauna 403. Hymn number 1080. to Jesus, our victorious Lord. The praises of our lives belong, forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. Lost in despair, beset with foes, undone and perishing we lay. His pity melted o'er our woes, and saved the trembling, dying prey. Hymn number 1080 to the tune Rauna, 403.
Thank you.
thank thee for thy word and ask thy blessing on it. It may remain with us. For thy people may be favoured with meditation and help to plead it. Forgive anything amiss. Grant us each journeying mercies. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.
May the Lord enable us to now sing the doxology of hymn number 506A. 506A. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hymn number 506A.